Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of the show. My guest this evening is Carol Winger. Carol has a story of empowerment to tell us tonight, and as we listen to her story, may our own stories of empowerment rise up to give us the courage to seize the meaning in our own lives. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Carol Winger. Hello, dear Carol.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I am great. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, yours too.
Well, I need to find the chat room here, but as I do so...
I'm looking for that too, and it's not coming up on my computer for some reason.
Let me see. So... you have something you want to share with us tonight, and I'm so excited. I'm sure there are other people who are waiting to hear.
Yeah. Actually, I'd like to start out with what I put up on Facebook on my 56th birthday, which was a few days ago, because it leads into what I want to... Oh, well, thank you. Why should that 56 years young, not old? Because, you know, I'm getting younger, says everybody else.
That's right.
What I put up. Today I turned 56 years young. I love where I am in my life. Yes, I've had lots of curveballs in the first half of my life, but those tragedies made me stronger. I rarely talk about them only if somebody asks. Why? Because I don't dwell on the past. The past is done. It cannot be changed. And I do believe everything happens for a reason, and it may not seem so at the time, but it does. I've had a few curveballs in recent years and got through them. The most recent one threw me for a loop, and I must honestly say I was devastated for a short time. But then I had a profound moment a short time later and realized everything does happen for a reason. At this point, I can truly say I love my life. I have a job I love. I have family and friends that truly love me, and I feel so blessed. And I also feel I'm divinely taken care of. I have no worries, and I'm very happy. Things just work out for me. So I don't know where to start on this. I guess I might as well just start. Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day, my now ex-husband had left the country to go to another country to build our business. He had been there previously, and he did very well. And, you know, that's a good thing. Go ahead, go do what you can do for us because things weren't working out here. Well, unbeknownst to me, when he got there, he called and said he didn't want to be married and he's not coming back. So that, you know, I took the route that everybody else would take. Oh, my God, I'm a victim. How could you do this to me? I'm pissed. You know, I want to kill. And, I mean, obviously that's everybody's reaction. But to back up a little bit, well, let me go forward first. A couple weeks after he told me that, it hit me. Why this happened. 2 weeks before, he had went to, I'll say Australia, everybody knows he's there. 2 weeks before he went the first time, I said something in my kitchen. To myself, nobody else was around, and the reason behind what I said was I was getting very discouraged for 6-8 months. I couldn't do stuff around the house I needed to do because, you know, washing clothes, cleaning, making waste, impacted his productivity, okay, which I didn't understand, and it made me mad because I'd get up early in the morning and do my stuff I needed to do before he got out of bed so everything would be quiet. Well, as I stood in my kitchen, I remembered that I had said 2 weeks before he went the first time, I said, God, please give me my home back. And I realized this is how he gave me my home back. He had to go to Australia. We had to split up for me to get my wish.
Wow.
If it was a wish. Yeah. And right at that moment, Kate, it's like, oh, my God, this is what I asked for. And this is, I have to accept it. And I did. And it just, it made my life turn completely around. I forgave him for doing it. You know, the way he did it, I didn't like. And a lot of other people don't either. But if I can forgive him for him, that's the only way he knew how to do it. Okay? But yeah. I had asked for this. And I got my wish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dealing with it. You know, it's just, people look at me like, are you crazy? It's like, no, I'm finally doing what I need to do. You know, the divine has put this in front of me for me to grow, and that's what I'm doing. And I'd like other people to realize, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'd like other people to realize, you know, things always happen for a reason. Like I said, you don't realize it at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the whole time, like, things are working out for me. I never had to ask anybody for help. I learned how to do Amazon and eBay to sell stuff, to pay the bills. You know, it all works out.
Mm-hmm.
Never once did I want for anything, you know. And it's funny how things always came to me. It's like if I needed, say, cat food, it's like, okay, what's going to sell on eBay today? Stuff would sell,
mm-hmm.
and I'd buy cat
mm-hmm.
food. You know, this bill was due. I wouldn't worry about how it was going to be paid because I knew something would happen that I would have the money. And then this job came up, and it's just like, it's excellent. I love it. You know, it's a housekeeping job for minimum wage at the local Holiday Inn, but Kate, I love it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I love my job. People think, well, why don't you go back to insurance? Why? I hated that job. I don't care if I make $40,000, $50,000 a year. I'm not happy. Here, I'm happy.
Exactly.
You know?
You know,
and
it seems to me that if everybody would trace back into their life like you did to see what it was that when the universe was listening to something, you were delivering a message and the universe was listening, if everybody would do that, they would find an answer as to why something happened the way it did.
Right. Right. Because everything does happen. Yeah, and it is weird because, like you and I talked earlier, I think this had been in the works for a long time. Not
mm-hmm.
him doing this, not me doing this. The universe was planning this. Because
yeah.
little by little things that had happened in the past year, I could think like, oh, that's why I was doing this, or that's why I was doing that. It was prepping me for where
mm-hmm.
I am now.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, I think honest introspection and going back over your life to figure things out, and a lot of people don't do that. They just, I think the victim thing, as you mentioned, is more prominent in how people operate and how people try to figure out their lives than, and they'd rather stay as a victim than they would really trying to take responsibility.
Right, right. They like to be a victim so they can blame somebody else. But if they
mm-hmm.
would look at their self, something that it may have done to cause, you know, they caused it, because even if they don't know, like me, I had no clue that, you know, and I'm going to joke around about this. I manifested him a trip to Australia, you know, like saying, you know, I mean, he's probably like going to call me and say, wait a minute. But no, I mean, I truly think that by me saying that in the kitchen and completely forgetting I said it, it was a confirmation that the divine knew I was ready for something to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I know it was in the works for at least a year or so because of the little things that had happened in the past.
Yes. And you were probably in a little bit of an unconscious state when you made that plea in your kitchen. But it was maybe a power spot there, you know, where something, that's a pretty interesting place there in the, where you made that proclamation, because maybe you could make other proclamations and see what happens there in that same exact spot.
Right, because it's funny, when I hit that spot in the kitchen, that's when it hit me, like, oh my God, I said this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
I'd forgotten it until I hit that same spot. So it's just kind of amazing how things happen like that.
Yeah, it is. And that was Thanksgiving, and now you're at least 6 months out. I mean, at least. And
yeah,
your
and
divorce
every,
is final. Your divorce
yep,
is final.
And, yep, it was a final on the 23rd of June. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Things worked pretty fast, and they worked the way they were supposed to, you know.
Yes.
It was funny because it was, like, really easy. All I had to do is go to the courthouse and fill out paperwork. Had I known that earlier, I could have been divorced earlier, but for some reason it wasn't supposed to happen. The timing
mm-hmm.
wasn't right.
Yes.
You know, and
well, that always takes a little bit of time. Some people will fight against each other, and it takes years. But
right.
For you, I think, I think 6-7 months is about right.
Yeah, it took like 90 days from the time we signed the paperwork. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're not going to be able to be together, why make each other suffer? You know, I hear people say, like, oh, he left me. What am I going to do? I'm incomplete. It's like, wait a minute. If
mm-hmm.
you can't be complete with yourself, you cannot expect somebody else to make you complete. Because
no.
if that's what you're looking for in a person, you're going to be disappointed. Because nobody can do that. Nobody can make you happy. If
That's
you're
right.
not happy with yourself, if you're not satisfied with yourself, if you don't love yourself, how can you give that to anybody else?
Mm-hmm. You know, we have some people here on the line. One, it looks like, from Virginia, and another from Washington, D.C. So let me just see who they are. Is that good with you?
Okay, sure.
So here's a 804 area code. Hello there.
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm in Virginia, and I was listening to the conversation. Very interesting, because I am one who has looked over my past, and it's absolutely astounding. It's almost as if everything was meant to happen to give me experiences to put me in the position where I'm fully empowered now to help change the whole global economy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the beauty of it is a lot of it can be documented from the experiences that I had and how I faced them, and to show people just to face their fear and to go within and ask for divine guidance in their lives, and they'll be fine.
That's what Carol was saying earlier. Exactly.
Oh, I didn't
that.
Hear that. But, yeah.
No, but, no, actually, she was telling me that before the show tonight.
With
and
the
it's,
show, yeah.
it's just so interesting.
Well,
that's, that you said
again,
that.
Spirit works with me. I get led to different things, so it's a confirmation, a double confirmation of what she said then, yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a self-taught expertise of what I term creative utilization of information. I consider myself an unlimited well of creativity as well as a creative, intelligent force, and actually anybody can learn to do that with common sense. We all have unlimited creativity, but we just don't realize it, because since birth we're under some kind of an authority. But in our quiet moments, if we go within and to start using our creativity to visualize and manifest, that we can change this world beautifully.
Absolutely true. And it does have to, I think a lot of quiet time and periods of solitude are the answers to really discovering what it is that is the divine guidance in our lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, every evening I'll sit out on my porch for about an hour, and I'll just be quiet and listen to the night sounds and stuff like that. And the things that pop into your head, like, oh, my gosh, I could do this and do this. I mean, I've been divinely guided for, like, months now, but even before all this happened, but I didn't realize it. I mean, I would pick up on a few things, but this experience this last 6-7 months has really blown my mind. I mean, really opened my eyes to what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I'm standing on my truth. If I could, I'd like to share a little blog with you, because I don't have email, and I'll give you an example of my creative utilization of information. The blog, if you just Google the word creativity777.com, it will bring it up. There's a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy. It's coming up on a second anniversary. It was dated July 7th, 2009, I responded to it and followed up numerous times without hearing one word back from the administration. If I had, things might be different, but that's okay. They're going to change anyway. On the blog also, and this is an example of my creative utilization of information, there's a little powerful poem that I created many years ago to, as a motivation in my own life. I dedicated it to my wife. It's also in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's discussed as a weapon against terrorism, and currently I'm using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. The poem's only 3 lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It sort of sums up what life should be all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just see your letter here to, from Barack Obama.
Yes.
This is very interesting.
I'm like the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? You go down the rabbit hole with me, it's going to be amazing.
So are you are an economist, or you have some insights into the economy? A lot of people are.
A lot of it is based on firsthand experiences. I'm disabled now after my wife passed. A month and a half after she died, I almost died, and I have COPD and a number of other things. But I'm coping. I'm changing the world from my dining room table and having a ball. It's going nicely. I'm looking to kick it up a few notches now. But years ago, as I worked 100-hour weeks, I wanted to give myself and my family a little bit of extra hope for the future. So I started a little sole proprietorship and functioned as an independent international marketing consultant way before the internet, and made all kinds of very interesting contacts. And I wasn't pre-qualifying back then, and actually wound up exposing a former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. I believe he was a CIA operative. I exposed him via a front page Wall Street Journal article. And at the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright. Now, Jim Wright went on to become the Speaker of the House, but that article put him in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who dogmaed it right until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. The whole article came about from one short memo that had been sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right. So that's another example of creative utilization of information and just how powerful it could be. And directly, it brought down the third highest position in the United States.
I love it. That's pretty good.
Yes, and I invite anyone. I'm looking for people to help me manifest this global incentive economy. If anyone would care to call me, the email on the blog wouldn't go to me. It would go to the gentleman who interviewed me, and I slanted the interview based on what he's doing just to get an internet presence. But anybody call me, I'm looking for people to co-author articles, books, do online courses, seminars, and computer software development.
Wow. Well, now there again, the death of your wife led you into a whole new direction.
Well, it really did, and it was meant to be, too. I think our 35 and a half year marriage, her whole purpose in life was to teach me the most important lesson life has to teach, and that is unconditional love. And I thank her so much for that. And I just recently came into contact with a woman who's down in Florida, and she is holding a spot of unconditional love in her heart for the world. And when I saw that, I said, wow, I immediately gave her my unconditional love and support of that, and she's accepted it. And I think coming together, we're going to do some very, very big things to bless mankind.
Yeah, I think we have to come together in the attitude of unconditional love, or else nothing really can get done.
That's the only way we're going to raise our conscious, and that's what we should be doing, yes. And you can start with little things. I mean, the poem itself is something to reflect upon, and it will cause you to take an action, and it's the actions that lead to the better things in life. And I'll just give a little example, too, of a transformational thing that occurred in my life when I first got out of the Air Force back in 1968. I stayed with my grandmother in a rent-controlled apartment in the Upper West Side of Manhattan until I was able to eventually get my own apartment. Now, they didn't have washer and dryers for clothes in the apartments back in those days, so I had to go to a local laundromat. When I finished doing my laundry, I was leaving. I noticed a little old lady coming. I held the door open and wished her a good morning. She burst into tears. I thought somehow I had offended her, and I said, "Did I do something wrong? I'm sorry." She said, "No, no one had been so kind to her like that." And that touched me that day, and it has stayed with me my whole life. And if that was my whole mission in this life, I accomplished it beautifully. But little things mean a lot. And actually, a prayer is taking an action, too. So anything that you can do, if you can't move your body, just say a prayer and offer it up to mankind.
I absolutely agree with that. Don't you, Carol?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, can I make a comment, too? Mm-hmm. I think what we need is more forgiveness, too. Not only just forgiving other people for things that they've done, because sometimes they don't realize they've done it, but then you got to forgive yourself first, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. I don't know if you're familiar with the Worldwide Forgiveness Alliance. If you Google that, Dr. Robert Plath, I think he's got something going on in August, but that's an excellent point. That's most definitely needed.
Yeah, because I've noticed a lot of times, like, okay, you can forgive somebody else, which is all well and good, but if you still have something in you that you need to forgive yourself for, it's going to eat at you until you do. You may not realize it, but then once you say, oh, well, I've done this, or even forgive yourself for letting somebody do something to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, I forgive somebody because they hurt me. Well, I forgive myself for letting them hurt me. I mean, mm-hmm. it works in a weird way, but it seems to work for me.
No, that's a good point.
True.
yeah, that's a good one. It brings things round. Kind of the full circle to say, I forgive you for what you've done, but I forgive myself for allowing it to happen.
Right.
Is something that is part of the whole process, and I think people may forget about that.
Well, I went through a very bizarre experience, and I forgave them, but in the part that you're talking about, I actually would go through it time and time again because I actually was trying to help other people and I did it successfully. And I have mm-hmm. this thing in check. But I'm in an independent senior apartment building. I was in another one before I came to this one. And in the other building, there were a group of malicious women gossipers who stayed in the lobby all day long and interacted with people just to extract bits and pieces of information from them in a friendly fashion. And once they were out of the area, they would twist it and tell lies and play games with people's lives. One had a son who was a sergeant on the police force. Another one claimed she had been a policewoman, had a gun and a permit to carry one, actually threatened people and got away with it because she supposedly had Alzheimer's or whatever. And they were running this building beyond the knowledge of the management, or the management couldn't handle them. And I had little old ladies that didn't want to leave their apartment, they told me, because they didn't want to have to go by this gauntlet as gossipers and have to interact with them. So
wow.
I took an action. I tried to interact with management, and it was totally unsuccessful. So I wrote a horrible article related to karma just prior to Christmas of 2008, And I gave a copy to the building manager, and I put right in the article, I didn't wish anybody any harm, and I'm not going to mention any names so that no one can say I slandered them, even though they slandered me. I gave a copy to the building manager, who gave it to her boss without my knowledge. I had the police knocking on my door all of a sudden to discuss the contents of the article with me. I answered all their questions to their satisfaction. They shook hands and wished me the very best. Now, the gossipers saw the police come to talk to me, and within a few days, they concocted a scheme where they got two weak-minded women, one of whom was some kind of a reverend who I actually trusted, and these two women called the police and claimed that I had been stalking them and that they had fear of their lives. I was arrested from my bed. I was asleep in bed. The police came knocking on January 3rd, 2009, and it was a woman arresting police officer. I put into her hands documents from this reverend that showed this was totally false and untrue. She refused to look at it. I put myself totally in God's hands, and that's when the miracle started happening. I got a court-appointed attorney who was a retired major general from the Army National Guard. The first thing he said to me was, "What the heck did they even arrest you for?" I said, "I think it's evil trying to throw me off my path, but it won't." On the day of the hearing, there was no hearing. The prosecutor saw the information that I had this policewoman photocopy, and he came to my attorney, who then came to me, and said that if I would go along with these circumstances, he would immediately drop the arrest and all charges. I would have to agree that these two women would be able to have restraining orders against me for the period of 2 years. I knew I was totally innocent. I wanted to proceed with the hearing, but my attorney said that that might be my best option, and I had to make a split-second decision. I'm looking over at a group of women, figuring if they can get me arrested from my bed, God only knows if they can tell one little lie to this judge on history. So I went along with what the prosecutor was offering, and as the months passed, I used that letter from President Obama to send a note to the chief of police, and I wasn't expecting a response, but he did write a letter back and indicated that as far as he was concerned, I was found not guilty, and that he didn't see where the police did anything wrong and wished me the very best. And I wrote back, and I put all kinds of information, including notes that I had given to my attorney, and told him I was copying the president because I wanted everything to come out for the president to be aware of or whatever. Nobody will touch this with a 10-foot pole. The restraining orders have since expired. I don't have resources. This reverend actually perjured herself on paper, so that still is an open-ended thing. And related to forgiveness, even though I forgave everyone, I was speaking with someone who wrote a book about forgiveness, and she said, "You know, I'm amazed at how you were able to do that." I said, "No, that's my faith." But she made a point of distinction for me. She said, "Forgiveness that's a totally different thing than justice. If they broke the law, that justice is still open-ended. And there is no statutes of limitations on perjury in Virginia. So someday, all I want to do is have my story told as a truth. And I would like to see these women get help, but I'm very concerned if this policewoman, who I believe was a part of this conspiracy, because again, remember, the mother has a sergeant who was on the police force, and I think there was some advice given to this policewoman on how to set me up in this thing. And it's so funny because the article discussing karma, that police sergeant, the son of the mother, is now dead, as well as another gossiper. Another one has been in and out of the hospital. Nobody can figure out what's wrong with her. It's coming around to roost. But all I want is my story told eventually, and these women should get help, and I wish them the very best. I pray for them. But if this policewoman has put innocent people into jail, they should look into all the cases that she's been involved with, because she made a point when she was bringing me to the police station saying that I'm very experienced in these kinds of cases and that sort of unnerved me a little bit. I didn't comment on that, but that indicated to me there's something not quite right there either. And I think there's enough evidence to pinpoint it back to how the whole thing went down. So someday I would love to see a book written and a blockbuster movie. I don't want a penny of it. I want to see it go to some organization that will truly help women that are in need, that are being abused or whatever. And I'm trying to empower women. I totally respect and love women, and I always give them my respect.
Well, that's quite a story here. Wow.
I have a few.
I'm just
and
thinking.
I have spirituality
about,
running through my whole life.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I'm just thinking about what those, there might be other kinds of situations like that in nursing homes. And
that's exactly right. And also, I find what I said about these gossipers is prevalent in these independent apartment buildings. They have no life. They sit in the lobby area. They make that their living room. A lobby is supposed to be for people to come and go. There's beautiful rooms with library books and television.
Yeah.
But they all want, that's their jollies. They get in everybody's business and they talk about it. And and that's no good.
Wow.
And if they just, these people, the knowledge that they have from all their years of survival, if a company used them as a focus group and gave, threw them a steak dinner to solve a problem or something there for the community, put incentives out there for them, it would be a wonderful world. We'd have a lot of problems solved with all the brain power just sitting idle.
Lovely idea. So
yeah.
You are now in an independent senior building, you say, and you're not bothered by that sort of thing anymore.
Well, it's there. I did what I had to do in the other building, and eventually I found that there was a memo put out by management saying that people no longer would be able to stay in that lobby area, and if they chose to do that, they would be violating the rules, and that they would be talked to and disciplined, and maybe would have to relocate. So I accomplished beautifully what I was setting out to do. I didn't know the price that I would have to pay, but I would be willing to do it 100 times 100 for the results that I did to help people.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and that's all I want out there is that story.
Yeah, it's a great story. I think as the baby boomers age and have to go to the nursing homes, it could be an interesting kind of exposé on
Well,
on
that's
people,
the punchline ending, because you remember the movie Jaws, how everybody was afraid to go in the ocean that they'd be eaten by a shark. Now all the baby boomers retiring and going into these independent apartment buildings before they sign a lease, they're going to go, what the heck is in there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope I never have to do that, but I think that we need to think of a different way for aging people to something more creative. I mean, I think more older people should get together in like a communal situation like we all did in the 60s. And just take what we all learned in the 60s and bring it up into the senior years. And I think we'd be a lot happier than living with the same old paradigms of people not knowing what the heck they're supposed to do and just being brutal and their gossip is one of the worst things that people can do. And it's certainly, and when people have nothing else to do, they tend to gossip, and it's sad.
Exactly. I tried to do what you're talking about in the other building, and I asked management if I could use the community room to have a meeting and have it maybe done once a week to have seniors come together and discuss problems and technologies and maybe things that we could do to help make a better world. And the meeting was sabotaged by the gossipers. Only one person came, and that was my next-door neighbor, a 92-year-old World War II vet. He wasn't totally comprehensible of what I was doing, but I thanked him very much for showing up. But I just wanted to read a little poem that I had made up that I dedicated to what I call the Age of Empowerment, and it was going to kick off this first meeting that was sabotaged by these gossipers. The poem is titled Mine Your Mind, M-I-N-E, your M-I-N-D. And it goes, mine your mind and you may find new gems to be discovered and uncovered. The cure for illness and the end of poverty are just two examples of what may come when someone minds their mind. Perhaps that someone is you. Ask God to guide you and you will see unlimited possibilities and opportunities. Be kind as you open your mind and you will learn to care and share. Once you become aware, you can change this world through love and understanding. It's not too late, but don't hesitate, for today is tomorrow and tomorrow never comes. At the end of your days, will you be in a haze or give a bequest to the rest? A poem, an invention, or a solution to pollution are awaiting to be mined. It's all up to you to mine your mind and help in the betterment of all mankind. Good luck, and may God bless you.
You know, Hugh, I think that the whole topic of the poem and how to, bring a new paradigm to aging and a new paradigm to nursing homes and so forth, I would like to bring you on this radio show and we can discuss this at a later time. I have your phone number, if that's the same one that I see.
That's the best way, if you could just keep that. And I actually have someone who has a blog talk show. Maybe you can cross-promote somehow with her. And this woman is ideal for what's needed for the seniors and the soon-to-be retiring baby boomers and what have you. And her name is Kathy, C-A-T-H-I, Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N. And you can see her website, kathywatson.com. Her blog talk show is Tuesdays through Fridays. Kathy Watson is 77 years old. She was on Oprah back in the 90s. She's a marathon stair climber. She climbs like 50 floors in 15, 16 minutes. And she just constantly is berating seniors to get up off their A and do
oh
stuff.
Oh, my gosh. This is so synchronistic. It's just wonderful. So, Hugh, I'm going to put you on hold and bring on somebody. And I will call you.
Terrific.
And I'm going to bring on, thank you, dear. And I'm going to bring on our next caller here. Hello there, 724. How are you this evening? This is, I don't know if, there's several 724s, so let me just bring both of you on.
Well, mine's 710, I'm still here.
Yes, hello, there's two of you here. Unless you're just listening, that's cool. And then 203 area code. Hello there. Hang on.
Can you hear me?
Just a minute.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it's Amy. Hi.
Hi, Amy. Hello, hello.
I am loving listening to Carol, and I want to hear more of Carol's story. Hugh was very interesting, but I came here to hear Carol. I want to hear all of her insights. I think what she is sharing is brilliant, and I love that she really made the connection with the physical manifestations that happened in her life and what she asked for, because so many people don't do that, and they and then it doesn't show up exactly like they thought it should show up. It shows up though exactly what they asked for. And
you know what you ought to, that's when they say be careful what you wish for. They add it on, actually
exactly.
They should add on to that, be willing to accept what happens.
Yes, to accept what happens, and also to be more specific when you ask for things.
Right.
I mean, it's a lesson in specificity, because, you had just generally asked for something, and you got exactly what you asked for. It happens to me a lot, and I come to the same conclusion. Oh, I asked for that. Oh, okay. Wasn't what I was thinking it was going to be like, but, this is what I asked for.
But it's funny, though, because you could get to a point where you're really not sure how to get what you want, so you just ask, and then you got to take, roll with the punches, I guess is how you would say it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and I am so fine with it, and I talk to him a lot. We talk a couple times a week, and, you know, we help each other still. I mean, there's things that he needs to talk about, there's things that I need to talk about, and we're all cool with everything.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's little details I really can't go into, but I'm trying to help him find a way, because he's trying to become a citizen over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just little things that are coming up that it's like, he says, wow, I didn't think of that. And I'm willing to help him do that. Whereas I think a lot of couples, when they get divorced, they're bitter and all this other crap. And all they want to do is kick and fight and, you know, throw daggers at each other. It's like, what good is that? That's putting so much negativity in your body. You know, did you ever feel your
exactly.
body, you know, like, tighten
but you,
up?
But you and 20 are beyond that anyway. I mean,
right.
I wouldn't imagine that you guys would be like that. I mean, look
right.
at the type of work you were doing together. Look at the evolution
mm-hmm.
you experienced together. Look at the evolution you've experienced individually and then brought together and brought to the
right.
world. I mean, if you guys were going to act like all the other people that are just stuck in reactivity, I'd be really surprised. I would. I'd be really surprised. It
yeah.
just it
okay.
would be incongruent, you know. So I really
yeah.
wouldn't expect anything less of you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when it first happened, I was pissed. I was pissed. I wanted to kill him. I went, ah. But then, like I said, it hit me. It's like, see, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, just like I said, in my younger days, you know, I had like 3 major tragedies in 6 years, and I worked through them. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it made me a better person. It made me, you know, I mean, I went through some shit, but when I came through it, it made me realize, you know, this is how it is. You can't go back. There was reasons, and I know what the reasons were that these tragedies happened, and that's what makes it easier for me to accept things now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy with myself, and I just know people out there, they expect other people to make them happy. And it can't be. Nobody
right.
else is going to make you happy.
Right.
You have to make yourself happy.
Right.
You
all
know,
happiness comes from within. All love
right.
comes from within, too. You can't expect someone else to give you love and fill you
right.
up with the feeling of love. You have to. It comes from within. Everything
right.
comes from within. Even the person that you're in relationship with or not in relationship with or whatever. I mean, you create them within you, and what you experience with them is your creation of them. It's not necessarily how they are, because someone else can experience them and probably does completely differently. So
right. mm-hmm.
each individual person has their own experience of everything and everyone else, including those that you're closest with and in an intimate relationship with. It's amazing. It's really amazing. When you get this, you realize that all the work that needs to be done is not out there. It's all
right.
in here, within you.
Right.
And that changes everything. Because as you work on you, the other people around you change magically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, because
that's the miracle. That's the miracle
mm-hmm.
right there.
Right, because if they see how you are and how you can be, it's like, how can they not...
No, it's not that. It's because you, it's like imagine
right.
you are projecting them as a movie
right.
out of you, out of your brain. So what you're interacting with is your projection, your movie. As you change, you project the movie differently, and therefore you project them differently. It's not that they actually have to change at all. You actually change the projection of them. You never... A real fact is you never interact with the person. You're only interacting with your projection of the person.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a human being, you are only interacting with your projection of another human being.
Yeah, that's
pretty
true.
Interesting. And the same thing
yep.
with life and the same thing with everything in life. You're only interacting with your projection of life. That's why everyone can experience the same thing, the same happenings, and the same individuals, and have a multitude of different experiences and feel it differently, see it differently, experience it differently, and interact with it differently. Because it's coming from within each individual person. It's pretty interesting how it works.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot of Louise Hay books.
Uh-huh.
I really like what she says, you know, like working on yourself as far as loving yourself and clearing things up, you know, she's into the forgiveness too. So that helps open you up for a lot.
Yeah. You know, and self-forgiveness too.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, you have to forgive yourself. I don't care how many people you forgive, you have to forgive yourself. You know, like there was an incident, you know, John and I were talking, and he would say, well, you know, I'm sorry this happened. I said, I forgive you. Forgive yourself now. You have to forgive yourself because as long as that's eating at you, it's going to hold you back a little bit. I don't know, you know, how much, but I just, that's just how I feel. You know, you
actually, a lot. A lot. The unforgivenesses of yourself hold you back a lot and show up in your life in many ways in little harmful things because everything you haven't forgiven yourself for, you're feeling negatively towards yourself for. And that then gets expressed in how you feel in the world, how you are in the world, what you allow yourself to receive in the world. I mean, it really has a big effect.
Can I tell you a story? Now, I said I don't usually rehash old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2 days after my twin sister and I graduated from high school, my dad gave us a car, and her and I and two friends were supposed to go swimming at the local park. Well, she went to go see her boyfriend, who she was on love, and she fought with me, and she fought with me, and she fought with me. Drop me off, please. I want to see Frank. Finally, I gave in, and I said to her, if anything happens, don't blame me. She drowned that day.
You talk about
messing yourself up. That's one of the things that's on my, you know, tragedy thing. It took me 10 years to work through that. And finally I talked to a psychologist, and he made me understand I had to forgive myself for doing that. I didn't do it on purpose.
And you didn't do anything wrong.
No, but I didn't.
You really, you actually were doing something you thought was loving. You were giving in to her. You were giving her what she was asking for, even though it was against your better judgment, against what you, but your better judgment was really following your father's orders. But you did something loving. It happened. This happened. It was totally unrelated to you.
Right. But,
you know,
but
yes, you must forgive yourself. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But I went through an abusive marriage for all that. Once I realized everything, I ended up leaving my abusive husband, getting a divorce, you know, taking my kids and stuff. But, you know, I can relate to, like, you got to forgive yourself because it'll really screw you up.
Well, right. Well, the reason why you got into the abusive marriage is because you were carrying that energy of not forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
And so, therefore,
yeah.
you felt not worthy of receiving things. Because you felt that you were bad.
Yep.
You felt, you felt that you were bad, so you deserved bad things to happen to you. And that's what you gave yourself.
Yep. So that's why, you know, that helped me get stronger now to realize you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to, because it can mess you up for life. There's so many people out there that you know, it's probably years like mine, or maybe 10, 20, 30 years, have never forgiven themselves. Like, something could have happened to them. That totally wasn't their fault, but they felt it was, just like that.
Exactly. You know, and especially if it happens to them when they're young. If it happens to, when something happens to a human being when they're young, like a child under 10, the normal mechanism is to take it on as it was my fault. I did something wrong.
Right.
I'm bad. That's why this happened to me. And that unforgiveness can be carried through a whole life because it's so far in the past, so deeply buried. But it colors everything that happens to that individual. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
We do. We have somebody else here who wants to say something. Just a minute. Hello there. Is that you?
Hello?
Hello, Mr. 2020. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. Hello, Kate. Hello, Carol.
Hello,
Amy.
Hi, 20. Welcome.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
Nice to be here.
We're talking about forgiveness.
God.
Of self. Yeah.
God. What a beautiful gift for yourself. And it's a beautiful conversation because if we don't forgive ourselves and each other, all we do is hurt the world, you know?
It's so true.
And you're on the other side of the world. That's incredible.
I tell you what, the whole, you know, I was listening to the show earlier, and I had to reboot to continue. The I think it's neat when we give it over to God, when we give it over to the divine. I think it's a brilliant part that Carol brought into the show earlier. We really are, a phrase that I love is divine order. My order, I only perceive so much, but divine order has me in Australia, has Carol in Pennsylvania, and has us both supporting each other in ways that we couldn't have, and that we couldn't when we were still married. I think it's brilliant just to notice when you give it over, in desperation, and when you accept it in love, or when you just give it over, when you've had enough of trying to make it work your way, the miracles get to show up, and you get to be the miracle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that you're doing the Course in Miracles.
Yeah, we've been doing that here almost every day. Any day we skip, we just put it on hold and we do the previous day's lesson. We've been posting it up on Facebook, which has gotten some real interesting replies because I haven't mentioned that we're doing the Course in Miracles, so I just keep putting it up and letting people think what they think. It's a brilliant thing, part of the thing which is brilliant about the Course in Miracles, it's funny, we're doing it here in Australia, and everyone on this call is also living it. I hear the messages, I hear the threads interwoven with the stories that we're all sharing, and realizing, being willing to take a look at the world and realize how much we filter it and how much we project it and how much we try to control it versus what happens if we start just opening up to it? What if we start opening up to the blessing of, literally the world? I suspect through many avenues, including anything that Carol and I do, formally or informally together, it's much more powerful now because we're both where we need to be, doing what we need to do, and that sacred space is there. Carol needed her home back. And I needed to hit the road, quote unquote. What a weird way for it to work, and what a beautiful way for it to work as well. And by the way, I do want to thank her. She mentioned that we communicate a lot. We do, and she's a beautiful gift to me, and continues to help me in ways which, like Amy said, it would be surprising to see us do the whole bullshit bit. And I'm glad we haven't, because literally we have the opportunity to continue to give to the world by giving to each other, and by most importantly letting ourselves be given to, whether it's giving to yourself or letting the divine give to you, however you want to frame it, it's all beautiful.
Yes, it is. It really is. However, however you start your day, and it's better to be really open to how the day leads and how it leads us all. And, there's just miracles everywhere. And miracles is as Amy said, is a change in perception.
Yes.
From fear to love.
Exactly. No, I'm just listening. But exactly. Everything is a change in perception. One of the quotes that I channeled, this is kind of loosely remembered, but it's that it says something like, "What are you trying to fix in the world? There's nothing to fix but your own perception."
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's nothing. It's all perfect. It's your perception that it's not that you need to fix.
You said this, I don't know if this is related, but it kind of sort of is. When I used to work in insurance, and every so often I would get a bonus check. This is where the perception comes in, I think. And I'd get a check, and the first thing I would think is, oh, crap, what's going to go wrong that I'm going to have to spend this money on, like a washer, a dryer, whatever. I mean, have something go wrong. And, he can vouch for that. Well, the other day, I'm looking at my computer monitor here, and it's got the little black splotch coming on there because one of my cats isn't very graceful. When she plops down, she hits the same part on my monitor, so it's getting funky, and I'm going to have to buy a new monitor. So all I was saying to myself is, like, okay, I got my camera fund because I saved my tips from my job because I want to buy a new camera. And I really, really don't want to take money out of my camera fund for a new monitor. I go to work the next day and I get a bonus check for the amount of the monitor.
Oh, that's great.
Now,
perfect.
Yeah, so it's, so I don't think now if I get a bonus, what's it going to go for? I think, oh, I really need this. Where's it going to come from? And it happens.
I
mean, that's happened several times over the past 6 months. You know, money has come because it's like it's needed here and there. I don't worry about it. It shows up.
I remember us talking about that a long time ago. And it's funny. As soon as you notice a limiting pattern and you're willing to talk about it, it seems to lose its grip, which is really, really wonderful. And if you notice something that's beautiful and you talk about it, it tends to grow. I think it's just wonderful to notice that what we do have these programs. Oh, I've got a bonus. Where's it going to go? I remember Carol and I talking about this years ago. What a hoot. And then, yeah, just talking about it lets the program have a little bit less control over you. And then the miracles get to show up.
Yeah. It's true.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just nodding my head here. I guess you can't hear
yeah,
that.
I heard something rattling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, like you're talking about the perceptions of stuff. What about like with me, like when negative thoughts? It's funny because I recognize negative thoughts coming into my head now, and I stop them like real fast. Whereas, I don't think I have too many negative thoughts that came in anymore because I don't remember having a negative thought lately. But I would notice when I would have a negative thought came in, and like I would start talking to myself in my head, and I would just tell myself to stop. Stop thinking what I'm thinking and then switch to something else. So eventually the negative thoughts don't come in because I noticed my body would get like all twisted up and all this other stuff. So I think a lot of time if people would be able to change, recognize, stop and change those negative thoughts, that would help them in the long run, you know, more able to love themselves, to forgive themselves because they're more open to it. They don't have that crap in their head going on.
Yeah, but Carol, that takes awareness. It takes awareness,
yeah,
and it takes effort, and it takes dedication to doing that. What happens with most people is they're just on autopilot. They don't even hear the negative thoughts. They just become the reaction or become the effect of the negative thought. They don't even realize the thought or know
that's
the thought's there.
I want to help people recognize that. I'm trying to put something together. I have notes on what I want to do to help people realize, hey, are you doing this? Are you doing that? I mean, like, give them the experience of I've had of doing this and just see if they pick up on it. I mean, men too, but more or less women. I think a lot of more women need to learn how to, I want to say, use the empowerment thing again, empower themselves so they aren't stuck in a rut. They aren't stuck in the routine or the circle, the vicious circle, where it's just the same over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Hugh was saying about those women in the lobby. I mean, there is the extreme example of probably just being horrendously gossiping and cruel to each other all of their lives, and it kind of ends up being sort of like a mafia of old women. And I don't think men
do that. Well, they wound their patterns so tightly, Kate. They were like that for many years. And what happened is they're
always like that. Always
right.
Like
so their
that.
Pattern, they just began to react to themselves, to their own pattern.
And they just became dangerous. They've become dangerous to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating, really. I mean, and women tend to do this, and men not so much.
Well, I don't know. I disagree. I think men that do it, though, can be more harmful in a physical way.
Yeah.
So I think that both genders do it. Men tend to not make it known so much until it bursts out of them in some physical manner.
Yeah, yeah. There is a difference with women. It's more of a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
So something I noticed with
end of the program. We've come to the end of the program, but please say what you're going to say, 20. Go ahead.
I notice in life we can attempt to force things, or we can discover the power of love that we are, and part of that involves embracing potential, part of it involves forgiveness. I look at Carol's story, and I know her life story really well, obviously. And literally, part of what we were attempting to do toward, let's say, the end was to try to force things. Part of what I'd noticed that we're both working on and exploring and accepting is discovering the power of love that we are. And literally, all of us have the potential to discover the power of love that we are and eliminate the need to force everything. And I want to thank you all for the space that showed up on the show tonight. It was beautiful, and I want to thank Carol for the journey that she's on, and you and Amy for bringing out a lot of really good stuff on the show tonight with her there.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, too.
Thank you all. Thank you all. It was really fun. Thank you, Hugh, too. And
yes.
Life is good. We all have something to contribute, and we keep our awareness geared to learning from each other, I think. Okay.
Always.
I am going to play music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen in Denmark, who is a beautiful composer who lives in Denmark. So here it is.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Yeah, love you, Carol. Love you all.
Love you too, Kate.
Thanks for being here, Carol.
You too, Amy. Thanks.
Thank you.